You know what? I'll tell you what. I feel the presence of God here this morning. Amen? Do you guys do it? Huh? Do you feel it? I do. He's here. He is definitely here this morning. Well, glad to see everybody here this morning. Did you check out the new doors that we had on the front of the building? Everybody see those new doors? Oh, man, that's a long time coming. They blew off a couple of years ago, and we haven't had the money. And finally, we still don't have the money. The insurance company paid for those new doors out front. So, praise God. We'll take it any way we can get it. And no, we won't. But we did get the new doors, and I really appreciate it. And a couple other things we got going. The first phase is completely done. Dean came over and Rob worked all day. He finished that up. I know he's already talked about that a little bit, but it's completed now. Now we start on the second phase, so we need your help. I'm going to be here tomorrow from 10 o'clock until at least 6, working on taking them out, so please come out and help me. And then from 6 to 9 to help Rob take the rest of them out. Then also, if you noticed as you were coming through those new doors, there's a picture that we've had for a while. It's the new family center. Now I'm telling you, we need to start praying as a congregation because, you see, I know y'all pray anyway, and I know there's a lot of stuff that's going on in our lives, and right now we need, number one, we need transportation, more transportation, because we filled the two buses up last night. We came, and I'll tell you what, if you missed Oasis, you missed it, because there was a whole crowd here last night. It was a great time in the house of the Lord last night, and we had about 40 kids last night come, and it was awesome. So, but we need to expand. So, and we don't have any money to expand. So we need to start praying that God will supply it. Amen? All right, and we need to expand. We need some more buses. So we need God to supply those buses because we don't have the money, right? All right, well, he gave us one, right? Did you see it in the newspaper today? He gave us one. Our bus is in there, so if you want to grab a Uniontown News, you'll see it. And so if he can give us those, he can give us more. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, right? So he should be able to supply us a bus, a big bus. And he also needs to supply us some people to help us out too, right? That may be the next step for some of you guys. That may be because we're all talking about the next step, amen? That's what the series is all about, our next step. What is your next step? We're talking about Joseph and the coat of many colors, and we've been talking about that for a couple weeks. We'll continue to talk about him for a little while. And, you know, we're talking about this growth. And there's some of you that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord over your life, and that's the next step for you, to know him and understand that he is Lord over your life. Amen? All right, let's keep it going because you got to feed. I feed off your amens. Amen? All right, so that I can keep it going, because I'll tell you what, I feel the presence of God here today. I think he's moving today. I think he's moving in a lot of your hearts right now. And you know, we're going to be talking about Joseph, and the next step for some of you is we're going to talk about integrity. Integrity, because integrity is a huge part of your character. If your character is without integrity, you have no character. Oh, you have a character, but it's a bad character. And we're going to be talking about Joseph this morning about that. The next step, character, is the true character of a person. Now, what will we do when no one is around and can't see what you're doing? What will you do? What about all those temptations that are out there? Well, nobody's going to find out about this if I do this, if I take this, if I lie about this, if I take this woman in adultery, and nobody's going to know about it. What if I'm sitting in a hotel room and they've got X-rated television for free? You know, when I did that for a long time, I didn't do that. I was in a hotel room for 10 years of the last 10 years of my career with UPS. I had plenty of opportunity because none of you were around. I was in a different state or whatever, and I could have very easily clicked on. But what you will do when nobody is watching, okay? When nobody's watching, that's what happened to Joseph. Integrity is huge. It is absolutely huge. And it's the next step. If you don't have it, you can't take that next step. So you've got to stand still until you can take that next step of integrity. Now, Joseph, I want to read to you a statement from a former president, okay? It says, "I have never been a quitter." Many of you probably listened to this speech at one time. "To leave office before my term is completed is abhorrent to me, to every instinct in my body. But as president, I must put the interest of America first. America needs a full-time president and a full-time Congress, particularly at this time with problems we face at home and abroad. To continue to fight through the months ahead for my personal vindication would almost totally absorb the time and attention of both the president and the Congress in a period when our entire focus should be on the great issue of peace abroad and prosperity without inflation at home. Therefore, I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow." Many of you probably listened to that. I did at the time that it happened. That happened in 1974, August 8th. It was President Nixon when he was giving up his presidency because of the big mess that happened. We will absolutely never probably know if that were true or if it were false or whatever happened. We may never know that. But all integrity was lost. All integrity was lost. There's another thing, another illustration. Probably many of you heard of the Great Wall of China, right? You can see it from space. When they have pictures from space, you can see the Great Wall of China. It's 5,000 miles long. That's big, right? The reason why they built the Great Wall of China is because there were nomads up on the north attacking China. They made a wall and used the rivers and the mountains to make sure that you couldn't get into China. You couldn't climb it because it was too high and it was too thick, so you couldn't get through it. But there were three attacks made in the first 100 years of that Great Wall in China. Do you know why? They didn't climb the wall. They didn't bust the wall down. But they bribed the Chinese guards who were guarding that wall. They bribed them. And they let them in. They just walked right in. That's integrity. What do you think? Family, apart from Jesus, and we're going to talk about Joseph, apart from Jesus, there is perhaps no greater example of integrity in the entire Bible than Joseph. And that's what we've been going through the last couple of Sundays. Joseph endured the betrayal of family. He endured the shame of slavery and the injustice of false accusations. That's what happened to Joseph. And yet still displayed an amazing amount of integrity. We saw last week that Joseph was sent by his father to check up on the field, his sons, because he didn't think that they were safe up there. So he sent them up to Shechem. And when he got there, his brothers plotted to kill him, and instead they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. Then, taken to Egypt and sold. Meanwhile, his brothers are back explaining that, or at least allowing Jacob to assume what happened to poor Joseph. They took his blood-soaked coat of many colors and said, "Do you recognize this Jacob?" And Jacob says, "Yes, a wild animal must have killed him." And those dirty, rotten scoundrels, where was their integrity? They let him believe that. And then they tried to comfort him, which is the sermon we did last week. Joseph now is purchased by an officer of Pharaoh named Potiphar. And the story picks up in Genesis chapter 39. It says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard," remember he's the captain of the guard, "an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. Remember that. And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Let's pray. Dear gracious God, we just thank you so much for this example. Lord, may we be men and women of integrity this morning. May we always be, no matter who's looking, may we always be upright. Our character, a character of integrity. Lord, we love you so much, and we just ask that we've already seen your presence this morning. And Father, we just ask that you would show us your presence in a very tangible way this morning. May everything that's said and done glorify you. We lift you up, Father, in praise and in prayer and in song, Lord. May you be our focus this morning and nothing else. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Now, we need to keep in mind that Joseph's rise to preeminence or prominence was a result of God's favor, right? It was God's favor. It had nothing to do with anything that Joseph had done. The beginning of the account starts with without promising, Joseph didn't do anything. Even though his brothers sold him into slavery, he doesn't stay there very long. In the providence of God, an officer of Pharaoh purchased Joseph, and he noticed his distinctive character. The second verse says, in chapter 39, it says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man." Now, the operative phrase there is that the Lord was with Joseph. Now, Moses, the author of the Genesis, he goes on and he says, he feels like it needs to be said again, stated again. And in verse 3, it says, "And his master saw that the Lord was with him." So even Saul, the master even Saul, he wants us to see that God is who is the one making Joseph successful. And not only is Joseph being blessed, but the entire house of Potiphar is being blessed. Take a look at verse 4 down through 6. And it says, "And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass, when the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored." Now, this has to be the foundation for how we understand the rest of this story. Joseph is where he is because what? God put him there. It is not by his own doing. It is not by his skill. It is not by his cunning. It is the blessing of God. Now, in Daniel, there's another story. In Daniel chapter 2, you don't have to turn there right now, but if you'd like to, you can. Daniel chapter 2, we're going to begin in verse 20. But the prophet Daniel is about to respond to a request given to him by the king Nebuchadnezzar. The king asks for someone to interpret his dream. What does Daniel's first response? It is to praise God. It is to acknowledge God. He says in verse 20, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the season. He removes kings. He sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." Family, Pharaoh was who he was because God gave it to him, right? Potiphar was an officer of Pharaoh because God put him there. To bring this a little closer to home, your boss is there because God put him there. The president is there because God put him there. Think about that one. Chew on that one all day. Family, even those who don't recognize God's rule, let me say this. Even though there are men and women who do not recognize God's rule, are under God's rule. We are who we are and where we are because God has made it so. Psalm 103:19 says, "The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all." There is nothing outside of all. You are not outside of all. If you are a believer, you are not outside of that all. He rules you. If you are not a believer, he rules you. Doesn't make any difference. Because God's hand is ultimately controls them all, just as he controls all people. Now, let's move on to Joseph's refusal to commit adultery with Potiphar's wife. Joseph has risen to prominence in Potiphar's house, right? He is in charge of everything in the house except what Potiphar eats. He's not in charge of that. He's kind of the top dog, so to speak. And he is very good looking, according to verse 6. It says, and he, down in the second part of verse 6, it says, and Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Now, Joseph probably, you know people that know they're good looking and they flaunt it, right? I mean, there's people that are good looking and they just, look at me. Then there are people that are good looking who don't flaunt it. They don't even know they're good looking. I think that was Joseph. Joseph was good looking and he didn't even know he was good looking. He didn't flaunt that in front of Potiphar's wife. There was no way that he did that. Now, I would imagine that she wasn't bad looking either. Now think about it. She's a princess. Like a princess. Doesn't say she's a princess, but she's Potiphar's wife. She's like the second woman. What are they called? The first lady? She's the second lady, okay? She's got all kind of money. Her fingernails are probably finely polished. She's got the great do. She's got all the clothes. She's got all the weight loss programs and stuff like that. You know? She's a good-looking woman. And Joseph's saying no to her. You know, no! I can't imagine that. Yes, I can. I'm just joking. We'll move on. Take a look at verse 7 down through 12. Surely I jest. And it came to pass, chapter 39, we're going to stay in there, verse 7, it says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wroth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, now she didn't leave this guy alone. It's a haunt every day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Now the request that Potiphar's wife makes is not culturally uncommon for that time. As a matter of fact, adultery ran rampant in Egypt, just like it does today in the United States and all over the world. Adultery runs rampant. Everybody thinks sex, free sex, everything. Let's go. Let's get it. Whatever. Okay? It's not a good thing. She wants Joseph to sleep with her. However, Joseph refuses. Why does Joseph refuse? Family, listen carefully to Joseph's response in verse 9. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now, he starts out by talking about his master. This is his master's wife. He's concerned about his master. He has put all in charge, everything in charge in this entire house to me. No one is greater in his house. Nothing is kept from him except his wife. Now, how then can I do this great wickedness against my master? Is that what it says? How can I sin against God? It's a huge difference. Huge difference. How can I sin against God? What does that statement say about how Joseph thought about his situation? Family, he knew that he was only in Potiphar's house on account of God's sovereign care for him. And he knew having sex with his master's wife was not simply a slap in his master's face, but it was a slap in God's face. To give in to her request would have been like saying, God, I don't care that you have put me here for my own good. I don't care that you have brought me out of slavery into a privileged position. I don't care that you have a plan for me to rule over my people. I want what my body is telling me I want. He could have said all that. He was all alone. Nobody was there to see. He could have taken and said, you know what? Nobody's going to know the difference. But he said, you know what? I've got a God that sees. I've got a God that sees. And I love him too much to turn my back on him. And I will not sin against him. Not sin against him. He was wiser. He was wiser than that. He could see past the next moment of possible pleasure to the consequence of his actions and the grief it would have caused to the heart of God. Family, here's three applications for our lives today. There are three R's. You might think there are four, but there's three. Joseph recognized, he resisted and ran, and he remembers. First, Joseph recognized and understood the situation. He didn't view the opportunity as an innocent display of human sexuality. Oh, this is just innocent. Everybody's doing it. It's okay. It's running rampant in Egypt. It's all right to do that. He didn't justify the situation by appealing to his natural desires. He called sin, sin, and recognized that to do what she was requesting would be a sin against God. The pleasure of that sin is very fleeting. It does not last. It makes promises that to satisfy you that it cannot keep. Think about anything that you've done in your past. Do you still have the pleasures of that? I'll put it down in a very, very simple form. You know what? I like cars. Most of you know that. I really like cars. I would have a whole garage full of cars if I could afford it. I mean, I would buy the absolute best cars in the world if I had the money. That's why probably I don't have the money. But when I buy a new car, guess what? I am so excited. I am thrilled to death. I get in there and that leather-wrapped steering wheel and that seat wrapped around me and all kind of gadgets and gadgets. Guess what? 2 weeks later, I don't even care about it. I don't even wash it anymore. It's done. The pleasure of all that money that I say, oh, man, love the car. I don't love the car. I really like that car, but it's gone. It's gone. It's no longer. It's the same thing that happens to us in any of our pleasures. Yes, they're pleasurable, and it's gone. The promises to satisfy you, it cannot keep. That's why John wrote in 1 John 2:15-17, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's a bold statement. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abideth forever. Woohoo! Man, you need to read that when you go home. And any time that you are tempted, post it on your refrigerator. Put it in your cell phone. Put it in your pocket. Mark it in your Bible. And every time that this world says, you need me, take it out and put it in and look at it and say, I don't need you. Because you guarantee me nothing. Your promises are shallow. They're going to end and burn up with this world. But what I have in God, in Jesus Christ, is eternity. I have an eternity. I was thinking about that on the way here. I'm thinking all those people that have died without Christ. And now they live eternity in torment. And will. Eternity's a long time, guys. It's a long time. There's no, well, I'm going to get out for good behavior. No, you go to hell, that's where you're staying. That's where you're staying. There's no, I'll get out on good behavior in 20 years. No. But 1 second is going to feel like 20 years in eternity. I love this book. Amen. Family, if we are to respond to temptation with godly integrity as Joseph did, we must first recognize it for what it is. Then we must run and resist from the situation. First, Joseph tells Potiphar's wife he won't engage in that sexual activity. But when he persists, or when she persists, look what happens in verse 11 and 12. In chapter 39 of Genesis, 11 and 12, and it says, and it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Now, what did he do? He ran. He ran. Family, it is a big mistake for us to think that we need to prove we are stronger than the temptation, because we are not. We are not. Run. When something happens, you grab that verse and you start running, and you get there and you start running. Because I'll tell you what, if you don't run, it will catch up with you. Just like Temple Run. Anybody play Temple Run? If you trip, guess what happens? What happens? Yeah, but what happens if you trip? Those ugly-looking gorillas come. And they try to get you. And they'll catch you. And that's what happens. Temptation. If you say, well, I'm stronger than this temptation, man, I'll tell you what, you're going to fall. You're going to fall, you're going to trip, and those monkeys are going to be right on you. It's a big mistake. Paul encouraged Timothy in his second letter to Timothy, flee youthful lusts, and pursue righteousness. The best thing to do when we are tempted is just to get out of the situation, to run. The last R is remember. Verse 10 tells us that Joseph did once he knew Potiphar's wife was in his intention. Now, if you look at verse 10, it says, and it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, she hounded him day by day, please lay with me, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. So what he did was he got himself out of the situation. See, if you don't get yourself out of the situation, then the situation will consume you, okay? So he made it a point, I am not going to go by her, I'm not going to lay with her, and I'm not going to be by her. So that's what happened. Got rid of her. You know, I'm not going to talk to you only when I have to. You see that he went in there because he had business in there, and that's the only reason he went in. He made it a point not to be around her. If we are to be successful handling temptation, we must do all we can to avoid entering into the situation. So Joseph did the right thing and was still accused of rape. And he was thrown into prison. Some things tell me that Potiphar didn't fully believe everything that his wife had told him either. Now remember, I told you to remember, Potiphar is the captain of the guard, which means he is the chief executor. He has the right to execute anybody that he chooses. Now, if somebody lays with my wife, I am going to execute them. Okay? Or I'm going to see to it that it happens legally. All right? He could have done that. He had every right to do it legally. He could have executed him. He didn't. He throws him in jail, which he could have easily executed Joseph. And the second thing is that in chapter 40, verse 4, take a look, chapter 40 in Genesis, verse 4, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in the ward. Now, what it's talking about is the butler and the baker, they came, and we'll be talking about that next week, but they came into the prison, and the captain of the guard, who is that? Potiphar. He put Joseph in charge of the prisoners. So obviously, he still trusted Joseph, right? Family. It is through Christ's power given to us by the Holy Spirit that we respond to temptation in the same way Joseph did. On our own, we would give in to it every time. So let's examine our hearts. Let's ask God, as the psalmist asks, to search us and to see if there are any wicked way in me. We face various temptations day by day. May we, by God's power, respond with godly integrity. Let's take the next step. Let's be men and women of integrity. You know, if you can't be, then stay there until you can be. I don't want you stepping back. I don't want you sidestepping. I want you to be men and women of integrity, that your character, that you love God so much that you want to take the next step of your spiritual walk. And that could be anything. It could be the fact that you desire to know Jesus Christ as Lord over your life. It could be the fact that you want to be discipled. That might be your next step. It could be the fact that you want to disciple someone else. It could be that you want to do something in the service of God in this congregation. You want to be a fully, fully engaged member of the body. A fully engaged member of the body. Not just somebody that takes up a pew. Maybe it's membership in this body of Christ. Maybe you've been here for a while and it's like, you know what? I want to join this member, this body, because this body is pretty awesome. They believe in integrity. They believe that the Word of God is true. Whatever that next step is for you, I need you to make that next step. I want you to all stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And you know what? Man, I'll tell you what. The presence of God was felt today, I believe. I believe that Jesus showed up today. And I want you, family, to try and make that next step. Come on, make a next step. If it's the next step just to come down and just cry your heart out to God, do that. The altar's open. Ask Him, what's my next step, God? Am I that person of integrity? And if I'm not, God, would you help me be that man of integrity, that woman of integrity? There are so many temptations out there. God, help me with that. And only you can help me. So would you please help me? Won't you come? We're only going to have a short invitation. Just come down. Just say, God, here I am. Here I am. Use me. Let me take the next step.
Join the song, lift your voice, as heaven and earth give praise. Fall to your knees at the feet of the Son of the one true God. Turn from old ways, lift your eyes, for the kingdom of God is here. Open your heart, offer all, for Jesus Christ is here. Now we have found our home. We have found our peace. We have found our rest in the one who soul.